Come on, no matter what you're facing, just say amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God is great, isn't He? So God is great, amen. Let me feel the presence of the Lord in this place this morning. How many is thankful for that? Put your hands together. My, my, my. God is a great God. Great God. Greatly to be praised. Hallelujah. Just say amen. Whatever you're going through, whatever you're facing, whatever tomorrow holds, just say amen. It's in God's hands anyway. Why do I worry and fret? My God has never failed me yet. Troubles come from time to time, but that's all right. I'm not the worrying kind. The reason I'm not the worrying kind is I got faith in God. Amen. To believe that He is able to do all things. My, my, my. Good to see you this morning. Turn to your neighbor and say, you sure do look good this morning. I hope you turn to the right neighbor. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Good to see y'all, each and every one. I hope you're having a blessed week. Amen. I hope you came to worship the Lord this morning. Because if you came to worship the Lord, you're in the right place. Amen. I want you to forget about what the rest of the day holds. I want you to forget about what the last week held. Amen. I want you to forget about what you got to do next week. Amen. Because we ain't got to do nothing, amen, if the Lord calls us home. Amen. This could be the very last day that we spend on this earth. And I want to spend it glorifying and praising Him. It's good to see you. Let all of our visitors know how welcome they are, how much we love them, and how much we love the Lord Jesus. Amen. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, go to the book of Genesis, chapter number 50. In the book of Genesis, chapter number 50. I want to begin in verse number 15 this morning. I pray that the Lord will give me deliverance this morning to bring to you what I feel that the Spirit of the Lord has laid upon my heart. Amen. I love it. I love it when God speaks to us. I love it when He gets our attention. Amen. Sometimes, I don't know about it in your case, sometimes it's difficult for the Lord to get my attention. I'm a little busy. I'm a little preoccupied, and I'll get back with you. But how many knows when God wants us, He wants us that very time. And amen. And I think so many times that if we'll just stop and listen to the voice of God, amen, He will tell us things that we need to hear. In the book of Genesis, chapter number 50, beginning with verse number 15, "And when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, Joseph will peradventure hate us, and will certainly requite us all the evil which we did unto him. And they sent a messenger unto Joseph, saying, Thy father did command before he died, saying, So shall ye say unto Joseph, Forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren and their sin. For they did unto thee evil, and now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of thy father. Joseph wept when they spake unto him. And his brethren also went and fell down before his face. They said, Behold, we be thy servants. And Joseph said unto them, Fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, ye thought evil against me. But God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. Now therefore, fear ye not, I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them." Can we pray? Dear gracious Heavenly Father, how thankful we are, God, for your Spirit and for your Word and for your guidance. And for those who gathered here today, God, for the purpose of worshiping and glorifying you. Father, I pray that we would lay aside every weight this morning. God, that we would be focused, God, and zoned in to your Spirit and to your will. God, I ask that you bless these lips of clay. God, anoint this vessel. God, that the Holy Spirit might speak to us this morning. God, that we need to hear from you. God, I pray if there's anyone here today who's burdened or troubled or sick or afflicted, God, we know that you are the burden bearer and the healer of our body. Father, but most of all, I pray that if there's someone in this building today, God, that does not have a personal relationship with you, that does not know you as Lord and Savior, Father, let this be that day that they invite you into their life. God, whatever it is that you need to do to draw them God, to an altar of repentance, I pray, God, that you would do it. Again, we ask your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated.
Give the Lord praise.
Come on, you can do better than that. Give the Lord praise. Amen. Give him praise. Glory to God. The Bible said, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Your only excuse for not giving him praise if you don't have breath. Amen. But if you got breath, you need to be considered an honor to give the Lord praise. This morning I want to speak entitled a message, The Right Spirit. The Right Spirit. Who knows that God intends for us to not only receive, but continue to exemplify the right spirit. How many knows that's difficult in a body of flesh? We can have all the best intentions of the world to keep in that right spirit, and in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, our spirit changes because of outside interference, because of things that don't go our way, because of situations that arise. But I believe that God intended for us to maintain and exemplify the right spirit. I want to share with you this morning what has happened here with Joseph. I believe with all of my heart that Joseph had an experience in the pit. So many times we consider and think about the pit as an awful place, a terrible place, an ungodly place, when in fact it might have been the very place that God wanted Joseph at that particular time. Sister Karen talked about trials and talked about things that we go through, and sometimes in our finite minds we don't understand that. We think God ought to be blessing us and God ought to be making a way for us when in fact he really is. We just can't see it because we're not looking through eyes of faith. We're looking through eyes of flesh, and it's not a particular comfortable time that God is getting our attention. And I don't imagine that anything about that pit was comfortable except that God had Joseph's undivided attention. Now, the Bible doesn't bear out anything that went on during that pit. But I would imagine that a lot of things crossed Joseph's mind. Probably first and foremost was anger. Maybe fear was first. I don't know in what particular sequence it was. But I imagine he experienced the emotion of fear, wouldn't you? Somebody threw you in a pit and left and you couldn't get out. And there's no telling what in the world was in that pit. Maybe fear, then anger. Then maybe vengeance. Then maybe opportunity. If I ever get out of this pit, if I ever get out of this situation, man, if I ever get an opportunity to do to them what they've done to me, you know, all of those things begin to cross our minds because we are in a body of flesh. But if we are in fact able to maintain the right spirit throughout any consequence or situation or pit, amen, that we may encounter in this earth or in this world or in this walk of life, I believe that God, amen, will bless us. So Joseph was in the pit. And when he was delivered from the pit, I believe with all of my heart that Joseph left his anger, his hatred, and his bitterness in the pit where it belonged. Oh, that we could leave our anger and our bitterness and all of those animosities in the pit that God has delivered us from. Amen. When he was delivered from that pit, I believe that because he was in that time of a bad situation, his spirit within him was strengthened. Sometimes our flesh has to go through a weakening process in order for the spirit that is within us to be made strong and begin to grow, amen, in the grace and nurture of the Lord. We don't understand situations. We don't understand consequences. We don't understand trials and tribulations that we may encounter. But in those times, there may be significant spiritual growth. And I believe with all of my heart, this was the case with Joseph. We now find that reading the story of Joseph, that God took care of him. I don't believe in Joseph's wildest dreams that he was in the pit, did he ever realize that he would be placed in the position that he is now in. And think about it. It doesn't even make sense. He was an Israelite.
He was now in Egypt. And Pharaoh decided to make him and promote him to be over all of these things because Pharaoh saw something in Joseph. And in Genesis chapter number 41, I believe it is, in verse number 38, "And Pharaoh said unto his servants, Can we find such a one as this man, a man in whom the Spirit of God is?" Can I tell you, when the Spirit of God is well and functioning in your life, even your enemies can detect it. Even those that have hatred against you can see there's something about that spirit that is within you. Because you're able to maintain that spirit of love, that spirit of forgiveness, that spirit of compassion, even in the most adverse circumstances. Pharaoh saw that. He said, "We're going to place him in a position of honor. We're going to place him over all of the grain that we have, all of the corn, and because he's such a wise person, and because the Spirit of God is within him, he's going to do the right thing." There was a saying that was so popular for a while, "Just do the right thing." Amen. That ought to go synonymous with being a Christian. Amen. We ought to do the right thing. We ought to do the right thing for our neighbors. We ought to do the right thing for our family. We certainly need to do the right thing for the Lord. We saw Joseph's compassion to his brothers when they presented themselves before him. Now understand, they did not recognize him, but he recognized them. Amazing. They both had been separated for some time. And I'm wondering what it was that caused them not to recognize him, but him to recognize them. Can I tell you that the right spirit will cause you to recognize those that have bitterness against you? They may not recognize you because they don't see in you what they have in them. Do I need to say that again? You got it? They did not recognize Joseph. Joseph recognized them. And he had compassion on them. Do you know it was in his power? He had the authority to have them incarcerated, to thrown in a dungeon, to put them in a pit like they had put him in. But he had a right spirit. "I'm not going to do to them what they have done to me." Amen. God meant good for it. I may not have realized it at the time, but God has already blessed me. He delivered me from that pit. He placed me in a place I thought I'd never be. Praise God. I'm not going to hold vengeance. I'm not going to hold animosity. I'm not going to do to them what they did to me. We see his compassion. And I believe that that compassion had to come from the right spirit. Because we've often said, and I say it quite often myself, especially when I'm driving on I-20, there's a little Cain and Abel in all of us. Now, don't you smile like you ain't never been there. Sometimes Cain rises up in you. And Abel says, "Whoa, whoa, 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 whoa. Wait a minute. Keep that right spirit." And Cain says, "Yeah, but you see what they did." Abel says, "That's all right, forgive them." Amen. And Joseph had that spirit of compassion. He was able to forgive. He was able to bless them as they presented themselves before him. And even though they could not recognize him, we saw his mercy. I believe that compassion and mercy goes hand in hand. Sometimes we have compassion and that's as far as it goes. But I believe mercy or compassion is followed up by mercy. When you have compassion on someone, you want to extend a hand or a helping hand to them. You want to do something for them. You don't. In other words, compassion, you recognize the need, but having mercy with compassion, you address the need. A lot of us have compassion. We see folks and we see situations, but sometimes we don't follow it up with mercy. Because Joseph had a right spirit. Not only did he have compassion on those brethren that abused him, that placed him in that horrible pit, but he followed it up with mercy. He extended to them that they needed. He gave them corn, told them to take it back to their homeland. He inquired of their father, how is the family? How is the father doing? And now we find in this particular scenario that we're preaching about this morning, in this sequence of scripture, we realize that not only did Joseph have compassion, not only did he have mercy, but he also extended forgiveness. Now, a lot of us get to the second step, but that third step requires the right spirit. The forgiveness, even though you've been wrong. The forgiveness, even though that you have been hurt. The forgiveness, even though that you have been decimated by the circumstance that happened in your life, you got the compassion because you knew that Christ was a compassionate Savior. You gave mercy because it is the right thing to do. But somewhere in the depths of your heart, you've got to reach down and also follow the compassion and the mercy up with the third step, which is total and absolute forgiveness. This is where we find here that Joseph has the ability to forgiveness, to forgive his brethren. This story is on the heels of a great loss to Joseph. A loss also to his brethren, but it seems to hit Joseph much harder than it does with the other brethren. Some of this may be attributed to the fact that Joseph at a very early age was separated from his father and dwelt in Egypt because that was God's will. We don't realize that at the time, but it was God's will. And then there was a reunion of the family. You know the story. I can't recite it all, but it's there for us to read. How that Joseph was able to tell his brethren, I am Joseph, your brother. And he fell on their necks and he kissed them and he hugged them and he had a wonderful reunion. And he says, go back and get my father and the family and Benjamin and my brother and bring them all down to Egypt. I'm going to take care of you. Now, I believe with all of my heart that there was 100% sincerity in the words that Joseph spoke to his brethren. But if we read this story, the brethren was a little suspect. They enjoyed the compassion. They enjoyed the forgiveness and the mercy that he extended on. But in their heart of hearts, they could not come to fathom or comprehend that someone that was so wrongfully abused was able to really forgive them. And as long as the father was alive, they thought that Joseph was only being good to them because of his father's love for those other brethren. Now the brethren are facing a circumstance, a coincidence of inopportunity, if you will. Because their security blanket, if you would, has died. We read that story where Israel, who is Jacob, now is known as Israel, has died. And if you read that, Israel's only commandment to his six children or to his sons was to take me back to the homeland, take me back where Abraham is buried, where Sarah is buried, and where I have buried Leah. I want to be buried in that particular cave that's back in the homeland. That, the way I read it, that's the only commandments that he gave. But the brethren seeing something, and remember the brethren were conspirators, because they conspired at a very young opportunity to do something against Joseph. The brothers conspired that we'll send a messenger and tell Joseph that part of Dad's request was that he forgive us. Because they wanted that security. Because Jacob was now gone. And they even thought, said, peradventure, he's going to requite on us. He's going to do evil to us because we did evil to him. And you know what? What they was doing was justifying what they had done. They said, he has every right to do to us what we did to him. But little did they know that the spirit that was within Joseph was a genuine spirit of forgiveness. Not just a lip service, but a genuine, heartfelt, soulfelt, extenuating to others forgiveness. And when you do that, there is such a spirit within you. Amen. That God says, I'm going to wash it clean. Amen. We found it with David. David prayed, create a right spirit within me. That was his prayer. It took the right spirit to forgive Saul when Saul was trying to kill him. And so David had the opportunity to kill Saul. But instead of killing his brother, he forgave his brother. It was evidenced in Daniel when they saw, the king saw, that there was an excellent spirit in Daniel. Can I just convey to you that there's no way in this world can we obtain an excellent spirit without the Spirit of God. We can intend to all we want to, but until that spirit of forgiveness that truly comes from a relationship with God is instilled into us, we don't really know how to forgive. And now we find another evidence here where Joseph has that right spirit, and even Pharaoh recognizes it. So they send this messenger to Joseph. Brother Jim, I read that again. And Joseph hears the words, and he weeps. Now his countenance is already down. It's an emotional time for him because hasn't been reunited with his family for all that long and hasn't been reunited with his dad for many, many years, and probably he's really enjoying the relationship again. And now we find that Jacob dies and he's lamenting that fact. And now his brothers conspire and send this messenger to him to tell him that basically, Daddy said that you need to forgive us. Knowing, you know, banking on the love that Joseph had for his daddy. And banking on the respect that Joseph had for Jacob to do what Jacob's commandment was. Even though we don't read it in the scripture that Jacob actually commanded his children to do that. He just said, take me back to my homeland to bury me. But they were fearful because their security blanket was gone. So David read that. I mean, Joseph read that note or heard that from the messenger. The Bible says he wept. And I think this weeping was a different weeping that he left or that he exhibited because of his father. But it was because that his brothers could not trust him. They could not understand the spirit that was now within him. Can I tell you, there's a lot of people in your past that can't understand the spirit that now lives within you. Amen. And let me tell you, that spirit did not die with David, did not die with Daniel, and did not die with Joseph. How many knows that spirit's still alive and well? Thank God for that spirit. Joseph hears that words from the messenger, and he weeps. He weeps because, how can I let my brethren know that there is absolutely no animosity, no vengeance, no wanting to get even in my spirit? It's all been cleansed by the love of God. I have nothing but love for my brethren. I have nothing but love for those that would abuse me. I have nothing but love for those who threw me and left me in the pit. In fact, I got good out of it. God took a bad situation and made it good. Can anybody in this room relate to that? God took a bad situation that I could not see. My spiritual eyes was blinded, but He made something good out of it. I'm not hateful. I'm not hurtful. I'm not vengeful. I want that relationship to be united or reunited with my family. And he wept for the fact that they couldn't see that. So he has an audience with them. He begins to speak with them. What, his brethren are all, they're all brokenhearted now. I'm telling you what now. It's amazing. When God gets a hold of you, you might have thought you was high and mighty. Amen. But God's Spirit will bring down even the mightiest. It'll humble us down to our very knees. We'll fall prostrate on the floor with our face down and beg forgiveness from God and His mercy. These were not the same. Even though fleshly they were the same, their attitude was much different now. They fell down. Remember the dream that Joseph had, this dreamer? That we're going to bow down to him. What does he think he is? Now they find themselves bowing down to Joseph. That means God don't make mistakes. Just because it ain't happened in the time limit that you thought it happened, don't give up on it. It's going to happen because God don't make mistakes. Amen. God doesn't speak, amen, and then forget it. God doesn't tell you a promise and then don't do it. Amen. God is a God of promises. He's also a God of deliverance. Amen. He delivers on what He says He will do. Amen. If you know what I'm talking about, give the Lord praise. You ever been delivered? You ever been taken care of? You ever had God just come on the scene? Glory to God. Hallelujah. So Joseph speaks to him and they fell down before his face. He said, we're thy servants. Behold, we be thy servants. Amen. Glory to God. Cain got a hold of me while I was reading that. Boy, you have to pray. Cain just shows up in the most inopportune times. And Cain began to point out something that Abel said, no, that's not what he needs to get out of that. That's not what he needs to glean out of that spirit. Cain said, and they said, behold, we be thy servants. Amen. And Cain said, you know what? You can turn those enemies into your servants. Come on, man. You can turn that evilness, amen, and you can have that evilness fall down on his face and serve you. Come on, brother. And the flesh says, oh, that means they're going to fall down on their knees and ask for forgiveness. Not necessarily. That don't always happen. But that doesn't mean you can't have a right spirit and forgive them anyway. Abel said, that's what you need to do. Not expect that, because that's part of vengeance. That's part of, man, I want to see to them happen to them what happened to me. But Joseph remained and was able to keep that right spirit. And Joseph said unto them, fear not. He saw some fear in them. I believe that's the reason that he wept. Because his brothers could not trust him. Why could they not trust him? He had never abused them. He had never done them wrong. They had done him wrong. But they could not trust his goodness to forgive their evilness. So Joseph says, fear not. And then he says, for am I in the place of God? Can I put it another way? Vengeance is not mine. Vengeance belongeth to God. Amen. It's Him. Let Him take care of it. In other words, you don't really need to ask forgiveness from me. You need to ask forgiveness from God. Because when God forgives you, glory to God. I said when God forgives you, when God wipes it away, when God purges it out, glory to God, you'll get the right spirit. All your enemies will get the right spirit. All those who have abused you receive the right spirit if they ask forgiveness from God. And then you'll rightfully go to the one and say, please forgive me, because God has forgiven me. Joseph said, but as for you, I'll stop there for just a moment. If you had or were given the opportunity to put your finger in the face of your abuser, of your accuser, of that one that did wrong against you, what would you say? What would you do? But Joseph said, but as for you, you thought evil against me. You know you're guilty. You thought evil against me. But God meant it unto good. Now, I don't believe that Joseph said that with a smirk on his face, with an I'm getting even with you attitude. But I sincerely believe that Joseph spoke those words because he knew such a transformation had taken place in his life and in his spirit. Ooh, and when all of that bitterness, all of that anger, amen, was left behind, it had nothing, it had room for nothing else but love, compassion, mercy, and forgiveness. But God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive. Now I can see what God intended. I call it after the fact faith. Before the fact faith is hard. But after the fact faith, oh, I see, God, that's what you was doing. Yeah, man, I'm glad I believe. But did you? Did you believe as much as you do now after you see it? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Amen. Glory to God. It's the before the fact faith. Before you quit hurting. Boy, it's easy to have faith after you quit hurting. Boy, it's easy to have faith after the trial is lifted. It's easy to have faith after you've come out of the fiery furnace and even the ropes that had you bound are burned in two and you're free and not a hair on your head is burned. But did you have the same faith going in? Amen. After the fact, faith is so easy. To bring to pass as it is this day to save much people. I see what God was doing. Now he mentions it again. Now therefore, fear ye not. I will nourish you. You know what he could have said? I will punish you. I will throw you in the dungeon. I will do exactly to you what you did to me. But he said, I'm going to nourish you. Glory to God. Have you forgiven? Extended compassion? Exemplified mercy? And also nourished them? Whew. I mean, just nourished them. What does that mean? I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to love you as a brother. The past is the past. It's gone. It's out of here. I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to nourish you. Oh, not only that, and your little ones. I'm going to take care of them. And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. Joseph said, fear not. Fear not. Because I will nourish you. Amen. I'm not in the place of God. I forgive you. But God is the one that needs to forgive you. And I see in this such a type and shadow of the compassion, of the mercy and grace and the forgiveness of Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
Who exemplified that very same spirit. Because not only was he hated, not only did some of the very people that befriended him and followed him turned against him when the crowd started hollering and crying, crucify him. I often wonder, in that crowd, were there any blind people who the Lord had healed? Were there any lame folks that the Lord had touched? Were there any demonic spirits that the Lord had cast out of them that now they want to join with a crowd and the multitude and say, away with him. Crucify him. Do you know that Jesus had it within his power to call angels down from heaven? All he had to say was, Father, send down the angels with the flaming swords and do to them what they are about to do to me. But something within him would not allow him to do that. Something within him, when he was there and he was beaten and bloodied from his head to his feet, from the stripes that even we today cannot understand. But we read in the Bible, he took those stripes for our healing. In a bad situation came forth goodness for those he loved. Brother Jim put it so admirably well. He said, you know, one of those stripes on there was mine. One of those stripes he took for me and for my healing.
Hallelujah.
Through a bad situation, God meant it for good. Can you imagine the love that it had to take, the forgiveness of the Spirit that it had to take when those Roman soldiers took and platted that crown of thorns and they just didn't place it on his head. I believe they embedded it upon his head with the thorns and the briars sticking and probably causing what blood was left in his body to run down his face. But there was a spirit in Jesus that would not allow him to raise his hand or even his voice in opposition to what they were doing. And as he made that trek up Golgotha's hill, often we think about, man, he just took it a few. No, it was a long journey. A very troubling and terrifying and anguishing journey that he had to carry that heavy, heavy cross. You ever been cutting wood and you cut green wood? Not dry wood that's been seasoned, that's sitting around for 2 or 3 years and it's lost all of its moisture. It's not heavy anymore, but that green wood is heavy and he's bending beneath the weight of that cross and he carries it up to Golgotha's hill. The cross that they're going to not use these little nails but spikes driving in his hands and in his feet. Not gently raising the cross to plant it in that hole that has already been pre-dug, but thrusting it upward and letting it fall, tearing the flesh from his hands and from his feet. Don't you realize that what an opportunity it would have been? Father, strike them down. Father, do to them what they're doing to me. But because that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the sacrificial lamb, a little baby born in a stable, lying in a manger, had the opportunity to wipe them off the face of the earth. But in his anguish, in his pain, in his humiliation, he reverently and obediently requests to the Father, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That's the right spirit. That's the right spirit. Oh, and when he ascended into heaven, he said, I'm going to send back the Comforter. I'm going to send back the right Spirit. Not just to be with you as I was with you, but to be in you. As the Father is in me and as I am in Him. And that Spirit can now dwell in you. Do you know that you have access to the same right spirit that David had, that Daniel had, that Joseph had, but not only them, but the spirit that Jesus Christ Himself has? The spirit that won't leave us. The spirit that won't forsake us. The spirit that'll carry you through the fire. The spirit that'll carry you through the valley, up the mountaintop, through the doctor's office, through any situation. There remains a right spirit within us. Thank God, thank God, thank God that that spirit is alive and well today in the hearts and in the souls of those who accepted Christ. Glory to God. Put your hands together for Jesus if you love it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Such a type and shadow of what Jesus did. The amazing thing is that in all three, or if not four, scenarios are actual events that took place in the Bible, those who maintained the right spirit had an opportunity to get even, but chose not to. Chose not to. There's a song that says, he didn't come down. He could have. Could have, but he didn't. And you know why he didn't come down? Because he had an experience in the Garden of Gethsemane. You know, so many times we think he spent all night praying that it wouldn't happen. According to what I read, it was just a short time he said, "Father, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me." But then he said, "Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." You know what I think? This is just me. I think he spent the balance of that time praying for me. Praying for us. Praying for the children of Israel. Praying for the Gentiles that, thank God, mercifully the door of salvation has been opened to us. That's grace. That's mercy. That's the right spirit. And because he endured the cross, I now have the opportunity to receive of that spirit. May I nurture that spirit. May I be obedient to that spirit. May I let the desires of that spirit, amen, supersede the desires of my flesh. That I'll always be guarded and guided by that spirit, the right spirit. Folks, I don't have time to tell you, but there's wrong spirits out there. Come on, there's wrong spirits. There's wrong spirits that's found their way into churches. God help me maintain the right spirit. The right spirit is what Jesus exemplified. Amen. Keep that right spirit within me. Help me to love when I don't have the opportunity to do unto them what they did unto me. Amen. Thank God.
Hallelujah.
Such wonderful love the Savior has. Do you have that right spirit this morning? Are you like many who are afraid that you can't walk that life? It is an impossibility without His leadership, without His Spirit. All of these wonderful accolades, we can't do it within ourselves. We have to have the Spirit of the Lord.
Amen.
I don't believe we can really love until we understand the love of Christ.
Amen.
And when we accept that love into our life, then we learn to love others as He has loved us. While you stand to your feet this morning, contemplate that. Think about that. Lord, not only do I have the right spirit, but am I exemplifying the right spirit? Not just in church, but every day in my walk of life. While we're thinking and contemplating on that, there may be some in this congregation this morning who has never invited the Lord into your life. And you wrestle with these things. You try to do good. You try to be the very best person that you possibly can be. And all that's wonderful and good. But it's difficult because you don't have that spirit within you. Today would be a wonderful time to invite Jesus into your life. Please, every head bowed, every eye closed, every saint of God praying, this altar is open. And this is an opportunity for you. If you would come forward this morning, we'll pray with you. We'll ask that merciful God, amen, to fill you with that glorious Spirit.
If there's not one, then let's pray as a church that that Spirit will be manifested in our congregation, in our church. When people walk through those doors, let them see that Spirit of love, compassion, mercy, and grace. And I leave you with that this morning. May God bless you, Brother Jim.